The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to the crowd, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I love Paul. I don't always like everything he says, but I love Paul. In some ways, he's kind of like me. I do what I don't want to do. I don't do what I do want to do. Dooby-dooby-doo. If you're confused by that reading, you're not alone. It's really the confusion and the conclusion to all the confusion that we've been running through for the last couple of Sundays. Paul isn't very settled in his mind what he's trying to say, and he's not saying it very clearly. But that's Paul. When Paul looks at the world around him, he sees two basic things that concern his theology. One is the law, the Torah of Moses. And the other is the grace given in Jesus Christ our Lord. And he tries to somehow move from one to the other. And he seems to be saying that if what is going on in my head and my heart are one thing, and what is going on in my flesh is something else, somehow or the other, those need to get adjusted. And his adjustment isn't very open and clear. He wants to live without the law, but the law prevents someone from doing what they shouldn't be doing. But Jesus and his grace frees us from the law, so we don't need it anymore. Except when we start doing things that we shouldn't be doing. That's one of our great problems in all of our lives, how to balance those two out. Now, when you look at the gospel for today, the same kind of a balance is being portrayed there. John came, and he didn't eat or drink anything, and you called him a sinner, demon-possessed. I came, and I'm eating and drinking and sitting at table with tax collectors, sinners, and everybody, having a good time. And you say, I'm a glutton and a drunkard. Make up mind. You act like kids out in the village square. One group of kids play a flute and they play weddings. They play getting married. And everybody knows that at a wedding, you dance. So they played the flute, but nobody danced. You know, at a funeral, especially in those days and among the Jewish people, there were professional mourners. They came to the house and they were paid to wail, to cry. Oh! And everybody else is then supposed to join them. And so the kids in the village square start the mourning and the wailing, but nobody joins them. See, it's a balance. There's a balance in the gospel today about yokes and burdens. The yoke of the law is a common thought pattern in Jewish thought. But Jesus also reminds us that that is a burden as well. And especially for the Pharisees and the scribes who added to that burden daily. Oh, you flicked a light switch on the Sabbath. Oh, terrible, terrible thing. They added so much extra to the base and idea of the law that it became a heavy burden. And Jesus freed them from that burden and said, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. That's what Paul sees as well. But how do you make that kind of a balance in your life and bring yourselves to the right place? In the Old Testament lesson for today, we sometimes make a few assumptions. We assume that since Abraham had met God, and God had said to Abraham, leave your family and go to the land that I will show you. Well, leave your family meant more than just moving to a new town. It meant giving up those relationships because now you weren't close enough to keep them. And it also meant giving up the family gods. Abraham had a new God. The God who spoke to Abraham and said, I will make a great nation of you. I will make your descendants more numerous than the stars, more numerous than the sand shore. Abraham had a new God. But when it comes time for a bride for his precious and only son who is now the inheritor of that promise, he says, I don't want my son to marry any of the local girls. I want him to marry someone out of my father's family. So he sends his servant off to Haran, way up north, to find a bride for his son. Now we assume, I think falsely, that Abraham's brother and his sons are likewise tied to the God of Abraham. There is no reason to assume that. They don't know that God, and they have gods of their own. And so when Rebekah chooses to leave her father's house and go with the servant to marry Isaac, she leaves all those gods behind. They're gone for her. And she now has a new family, a new husband, and a new God. The psalm for today has the same situation. The people from Tyre have brought a gift to the king in some respects that might be one of their daughters who is now to be married to the king. Obviously, not David, probably Solomon, who knows. But she is advised to leave all of her father's things behind and join her new husband. Leave all of those gods that she worshipped all of her life. Leave all of those traditions that she followed. And now take on a new family. Now that's what Paul is really talking about. That's the balance that Paul wants to achieve in his life, and we want to achieve in our lives. You see, when we take on the new life in Christ Jesus, we are supposed to leave all of the old life behind. We now have a new family. A family that follows God. A family that follows Jesus. A family that loves each other and loves God even more. How do we get there? And Paul has the answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. That's the way to get there. That's the way to discover that the old life has now gone and the new life is here. But it's a choice. You notice that in the Old Testament, in the Epistle, in the Psalm, and in the Gospel. It's a choice that you have to make. Will you allow the old life to lead you? Or will you allow Jesus to lead you into new life? And that means giving up a lot of things that we tend to hold on to. That means giving up all of those assurances that we're right and everybody else is wrong. Or those assurances that we know the best thing to do and everybody else isn't that intelligent. It means looking for a new rector from a new point of view. It means looking for somebody that is not going to take sides, or not going to continue old ways, but to be a new life together. We no longer call that new person's coming into the life of the parish installation. We call it the beginning of a new ministry. And that new ministry involves everyone in the congregation. It's just not the priest that's beginning a ministry. It's all of you to gather with that priest who are entering a new time of ministry within the life of the church. That's why it takes a long time to make sure you've got the right kind of person, because they are going to come, and you and they together are going to work the work of Christ in this place. So now's a great time to choose. Which pattern of life do you want to follow? The old or the new? Amen.